All right. It is August 9th, 2017. The Dodgers are currently playing the Diamondbacks, hoping to get their 80th win of the season. And, you know, they're the best team, Josh, we've seen in probably 10 years, probably 16 years. How good are these guys?
Well, let me look at the standings here. And they are currently, yes, 12 games above the Nationals, who is pretty good as well. And they're a full 15 games above division rivals D-backs and Rockies, who have the third and fourth best records in the National League. So seems like they're having a bit of success.
Just a little bit.
I am the one, the way your son don't need a gun to get respect up on the street. Under the sun, the bastard son will pop the clock to feed himself and family. By any means, your enemies, my enemies, we wet them up like a canteen.
Yeah, they're far and away the best team. In a season when you have a lot of really competitive ball clubs, you know, in the Central, Cleveland has 60 wins. In the American League East, you have the Red Sox have 65 and the Yankees have 59 wins. They're both going to be playoff teams. The Nationals are probably the second best team in baseball, even though they have four fewer wins than Houston at 71 and Washington is at 67. You know, the Nationals are probably still the second best team in the league. The Dodgers, like you said, are 12 games up on the Nats. They are slaughtering everybody.
Yeah, it's amazing to look at, especially when you contrast the two leagues. I mean, we can look over in the AL and see that the Astros are also having a pretty good year. They're at 71 wins. But you kind of get the feeling that, you know, playing in the AL West with the Mariners, Angels, Rangers, and Athletics is kind of helping to, you know, potentially inflate that just a little bit. But when you look at the National League, and you look at the Dodgers and the fact that they're beating up on the D-backs and the Rockies along with the Padres and Giants, it gives credence to, like, you know, hey, whatever formula they found, it's working pretty well.
Yeah, and one thing I think is interesting about this team is the Dodgers right now are known, well, not just right now, but always are known as being a huge, large market team. And even right now, the Dodgers have an enormous bloated payroll. Their payroll right now is $252,158,430 for this season. But they're not necessarily just doing it with throwing money at the problem. You know, they do have the bloated payroll, but they're also paying $47 million to guys who aren't on the roster. They're paying $22.5 million to Adrian Gonzalez, who isn't playing because he's hurt. The highest paid guy on the team, rightfully so, is Clayton Kershaw, who's making, what, $30 million
a year? Yep, that's correct.
But after that, it drops off pretty significantly across the board.
Yeah, what's amazing is that the Dodgers, who have just mountains of cash in their vaults ready to be spent whenever necessary, have really been able to kind of do it through the player development method of just, you know, going out, scouting, finding good young talent, getting it into their system, and, you know, potentially using it as trade chips to, you know, land better players to kind of help their push. But for the most part, the big names that you hear about are the people that they brought in originally. Somebody like a Cody Bellinger. Obviously, we know Yasiel Puig was a big international signing for them. But, you know, even kind of picking off the scrap heaps of other teams, like picking up like a Kike Hernandez or Justin Turner, finding players that, you know, they could acquire cheaply, develop and, you know, produce and create big, big league quality players, has served them pretty well in terms of, you know, not trying to replicate the Yankees of the 90s and going out and getting whatever high price tag is out there.
Yeah, they've really done a good job finding players. I mean, Justin Turner was basically an afterthought when they acquired him. Well, maybe not an afterthought, but he was not known as a major young talent in the game when they acquired him from, I think it was Baltimore?
No, actually, the Mets.
They got him from the Mets. Did the Mets get him from Baltimore?
Maybe.
Yes, the Mets did get him from Baltimore. But he's really exploded on the since joining the Dodgers. He'd never put up a season until joining the Dodgers when he had a OPS plus greater than 100, better than league average. And he's been better than league average every year since he's joined the team, which is almost crazy to say considering that he moved to a pitcher's ballpark.
Yeah, it's amazing to consider. It's also amazing to think about just kind of how long the Dodgers have been good at developing talent, even through the good years and then the Frank McCourt years. I think we all remember, like, you know, in the mid-90s, they had a run where they were just producing Rookie of the Year after Rookie of the Year. Mm-hmm. And it looks like they might be at the beginning of the same start with Corey Seager last year. It looks like Cody Bellinger is going to be this year. And, I mean, they got a bunch of other names in the pipeline coming up who look to be just as exciting and potentially instant impact players.
Yeah, I mean, if you just go down the list of the guys that they've either acquired themselves through international signings or drafted and developed themselves, you look, Corey Seager, drafted and developed, is worth 5 WAR this year. Justin Turner would be next on that list, but they found him off the trash heap, basically. Is worth 4.7 WAR. Did they draft and develop Chris Taylor?
Not sure. Let's see.
Cody Bellinger has been worth 3 WAR. Even a guy like Jock Peterson, who's their starting center fielder, is basically only was supposed to be like the man for them.
Right.
Even though he's only playing at like a replacement level, he's a drafted and developed player. And Yasiel Puig, who they found, is worth 2 or 3 WAR this year.
Yeah, Chris Taylor they acquired from the Mariners, and yeah, lo and behold, in his first full season playing, he's up here at almost 4 wins.
Just another case of the Mariners being a great baseball organization.
The great feeder system.
So you got to give credit to Gabe Kapler and his staff who are now running the Dodgers talent development system, because they've really just been dominating. Dominating is a weird way to say it. They've really just been killing it as far as finding, acquiring, and developing talent goes.
Well, I think that's the amazing thing too about the Dodgers is the fact that this is not your classic stars and scrub team. This isn't the team where you have, you know, your 3, 4, and 5 hitters are all carrying the lineup, or your 1 and your 2 starters are basically sure shots, and then, you know, what's it, spawn insane and then pray for rain. It's really been a full team effort, and the depth that the team has this year, the depth that the Dodgers are able to kind of use as they go through. I mean, when you look at it, like, the perfect place to look is at their catching unit. You got Yasmani Grandal and Austin Barnes, you know, both sharing time, combining to be worth a over 4 win player at the catcher spot.
And their depth really shows when you look at what they have on the disabled list this right now. As of today, Kershaw has been on the 10-day DL. And I'm going to read out the money here because the money is really nuts as far as how much money they have on the DL and guys who you would like logically expect to be contributing to this team. Right, Clayton Kershaw is making $35 million this year. He's on the DL, only the 10-day, and he's probably going to win the Cy Young, but I'm going to read it anyway because it's on the list. Adrian Gonzalez has been on the DL all year. He's making $22 million. Scott Kazmir has been on the DL all year. He's making $18 million. Andre Ethier is making $18 million. Brandon McCarthy is on the DL right now. He's making $12 million. All in all, they have $110 million spread out among 12 players on the disabled list, and they have enough depth to overcome that kind of loss.
Well, what's interesting about that is when you look at the starting pitching unit that the Dodgers are throwing out there, you know, after Kershaw, you know, after the best pitcher on the planet, You kind of have a ragtag group of pitchers who are high upside, high risk players. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, Alex Wood at his best during his rookie year was really good, but you knew that at his worst, he was pretty bad. You see somebody like a Rich Hill, who you know is pretty good. He's shown that he is a good pitcher, but he's been having trouble with just blisters and has been consistently on the DL. Brandon McCarthy is a pretty good pitcher, but he's consistently injured. And then you kind of see it also with somebody like a Hyunjin Ryu. Kenta Maeda has kind of struggled a little bit. It's kind of interesting. The Dodgers have almost taken like an approach of, you know, let's go out there and get a bunch of high upside players. And if we have enough of them, at least one or two of them will stick and be able to kind of give us that flash of brilliance that we need to survive.
Yeah, Rich Hill's another guy I just want to point out quickly, who's another perfect example of the Dodgers being able to go out and find treasure among other people's trash. He was basically on the verge of being out of the league in 2014. Then in 2015, yeah, he made a couple good starts at the end of the year for the Red Sox, went to Oakland, and the Dodgers traded for him. And he's been pretty elite for them. Just a heavy curveball used pitcher, has been able to turn his entire career around. And he's really added a lot of depth to their starting rotation.
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers, they gave up Jarrell Cotton. It's a big trade piece to acquire Rich Hill. And I don't think anybody in L.A. right now is mad at that trade. Jarrell Cotton's pretty good. I mean, he's struggled a little bit, but he's definitely shown flashes of being able to pitch at the big league level. But, I mean, to trade him and require Rich Hill back, that's a pretty good trade. And it looks like it's working out for them pretty well.
Yeah, and just a quick comment on the Dodgers' pitching depth. They have five starters who have at least one war so far this year just for the Dodgers. And then Yu Darvish is a three war pitcher who they just picked up. And he was lights out in his first start.
Yeah, it's amazing that they're going to be able to employ both Clayton Kershaw and now Yu Darvish, who looks like he has settled in pretty comfortably over in the National League. Given that pitcher park, he will now be able to pitch, you know, half of his remaining starts in. It's amazing that they've been able to piece together, you know, not only great performances from the top of their rotation, but also get, you know, above average performance from the middle and the bottom of the rotation. And I mean, they were able to go out at the trade deadline and acquire two left-handed Tonys to help shore up that bullpen.
Yeah, and before we move on to the bullpen, I just want to throw in another quick note on Darvish, is that it's another testament there to their incredible organizational prospect depth that they were able to promote so many players in the last 2 years and still have the firepower to go out and trade a Willie Calhoun to get Yu Darvish.
Yeah, I mean, the only other team, you know, there's a couple teams, but I mean, the one team that you think of that comes to mind when you think of just stockpiling this talent to turn it into major league talent is the Cubs. And what we've seen them trade away in the past few years, and especially this trade deadline, to kind of make a push to get back into the race. The Dodgers are right there with, you know, plenty of talent. Still in the organization to the point where if they really wanted to try and do this again next year, they still have probably one of the top five farm systems in the league.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Cubs. They're a really interesting comp, that last year's World Series winner, who have been lackluster, to say the least, this year. They're an interesting comp to the Dodgers because, like the Dodgers, they're a team that's mostly built off of promoting their own internal talent. The Cubs have their own drafted and promoted players at seven positions, plus Anthony Rizzo, who was drafted by the Red Sox and came up through this Padres system. But they have Albert Almora in center and Schwarber in left. We obviously know about Baez and Russell and Bryant. They got Contreras behind the plate. The Dodgers are right there with them across the board with Corey Seager and Cody Bellinger and Yasiel Puig and Jock Peterson and Chris Taylor.
I mean, it bodes well when you look at a lot of the past World Series winners and even just teams who have had success in the postseason. I mean, when you look at the rival, the Giants, or you look at the Cubs, or when you look at the Royals, or even, let's say, the Tampa Bay Rays team in, I think, 2008, who got pretty close to winning. You notice that, I mean, all those teams were basically built on homegrown talent. I mean, it was a process that took, you know, anywhere between 3 to 5 or 7 years for the pieces that were acquired through the draft or through international signings to kind of blossom into a unit that was the core of the team that would propel them to, you know, baseball success, postseason success. And it seems like the Dodgers are pretty primed to, you know, kind of succeed on that core that they have now and yet still have an up-and-coming core remaining for once these guys, you know, theoretically they would price out of their budget. But, you know, with the Dodgers, they might be able to keep everybody. But at the same time, like, I mean, this is one of those things where this isn't a kind of a flash in the pan. I know a big comp to the Dodgers right now are the 2001 Mariners. And I think we were talking about it earlier. It's just really interesting. That's the team that went out and won 116 games. And that was after they traded away Ken Griffey Jr. That was after they lost Alex Rodriguez. Like, a lot of their best parts left them, and they just were able to succeed still.
We've seen a lot of this. We've talked about before that teams valuing prospects more highly than maybe other teams' major league players seems to be a trend across the league, and it seems to be working out when you see the Cubs winning last year, the Royals before them a couple years ago, and then the Astros are so good now, and the Dodgers really seem to have gotten the best run of the bunch.
Well, that's the scary part. I mean, the Royals are kind of running into it now where, you know, they have that core, and that core is about to hit free agency kind of all at the same time, and they're basically staring down a reboot here pretty soon. But the Dodgers aren't in that position. I mean, they have a pretty solid core now. I mean, they obviously don't want Clayton Kershaw to leave, but it's kind of silly to say that they might be able to survive it if he does. But even if they don't, they already have their next core sitting there in the high minors ready to come up and within like the next, you know, 2 to 3 years. So this is a organization that looks like it's going to have some sustained success for a while.
Yeah. And they're, even though they have so much money committed to players they aren't paying, I mean, they're going to be paying Carl Crawford next year. They're going to be paying Adrian Gonzalez next year. I don't know when Andre Ethier's contract runs out, but they owe him a bunch of money.
Ooh, forgot about that.
They are not one of – there's only, like we've said before, they're not a team that is going to be hurt by having a lot of bad contracts around, or maybe not a lot, but a couple. You know, there's, we've said before, there's really only two teams in professional baseball that can afford to throw money around without much thought. Those are the Yankees and the Dodgers.
I mean, the Dodgers have used, as we mentioned, the Dodgers have used the heft of their money just to take on bad contracts from, you know, other teams. You know, it's easy to point to the Josh Beckett, Adrian Gonzalez trade with the Red Sox. I mean, they basically just said, hey, yeah, we'll take on all that dead money to acquire a couple, you know, important pieces that help them. And they know they can just live with the cost. They've also realized, you know, even though they have the most money, a big thing about the Dodgers is that where they do their spending is in the international signings. I mean, they consistently kind of sign over the penalty threshold to go out.
They weren't allowed to make any international signings this year because they had violated the previous few years, right?
Exactly. They realized there was the best return, you know, per dollar spent in the international pool. So that's kind of where they went and played big fish and just said, let me throw my weight around. I'm going to outpay anybody to get them, you know, next year be damned, which you can do when you have a farm system that's just, you know, filled to the brim.
All right, Josh. So we've talked about why the Dodgers are so good. And you brought up briefly the 2001 Mariners as being a potential comparison. The 98 Yankees are also there. But another note on depth, the 2001 Mariners and the 98 Yankees. The 98 Yankees only had four drafted homegrown players to produce at least one WAR. The Dodgers have six. The 2001 Mariners only had one drafted homegrown player to produce at least one WAR. The Dodgers have six. Both the 98 Yankees and the 01 Mariners only had two internationally signed players make major contributions that year. The Dodgers have three just in their lineup with Puig and Puig, Ryu, and I'm blanking on somebody.
Kenta Maeda?
Yeah, Kenta Maeda.
Yeah. All right. It's really a testament to just kind of how the game is really different now to even just like, you know, 10 to 15 years ago. I mean, you saw the Yankees, like you said, you know, they were the big fish. They were the Steinbrenner Yankees that we all knew. They went out and they would either, you know, trade or buy or, you know, sign whatever big name they needed to get to achieve the success. And that kind of culminated in the 1998 juggernaut that won a bunch of games. The Mariners were a surprise. But
right, that was kind of a miracle season.
Right, exactly, because the big names that you would expect to have been there were all gone. But I think we talked about earlier, their best pitcher was Freddie Garcia. And it should be noted that that team won 116 games.
Yeah. So do you think the Dodgers will be able to catch up to the 2001 Mariners or even the 98 Yankees who won 114 games? Right now, they're probably on pace for 114 wins, but it's worth noting that it's August 9th. The Yankees won their 80th game. The Dodgers are going for it tonight. It's tied right now, by the way, in the bottom of the fifth. Cody Bellinger hit a home run in the second, his 33rd. Got to be rookie of the year.
That's amazing.
The Yankees and the Mariners both won their 80th game on August 4th, so the Dodgers are just like a half step behind pace of those two teams. Do you think they'll be able to close it out? Because they are going to have to play a bunch of divisional games against two very good teams in the Diamondbacks and the Rockies.
That's true, but then they also get divisional games against two not very good teams in the Padres and the Giants. It's tough because, you know, my natural resting point is, yo, they're going to regress to the mean at some point. Like, it's a hot streak. You shouldn't, you know, it's hard to use past.
Is it a hot streak, though? Because they've played, 110 games at this point? About close to?
Roughly, yep, roughly, yeah.
I don't know at what point a team's win-loss record, what point the sample size of games you need to get to really, like, see win-loss become, like, a measurable stat, like, for it to stabilize. But at this point, they've got to be, like, taken seriously as being this good.
Well, that's the interesting thing. I mean, with baseball, it's actually kind of crazy. The 538 kind of did a study into it, and they saw that, you know, it would take almost 600 games to make sure that the best team always comes out on top. You need just a huge sample size. So I think even, you know, looking at it and say, hey, look, they've been on fire for 110 games, it's still kind of hard for me personally to see them carrying that out. I see them maybe cooling off, and then maybe not even necessarily because, let's say, hey, look, they're not that good. But at some point when it comes to September, I mean, they're just going to have to sit bodies. They're going to, you know, be playing a bunch of younger kids, and they're going to be trying to save up and rest up for the postseason and, you know, keep inning limits, making sure everyone's fresh and ready to go. So kind of once you get knocked out of that rhythm, I feel like teams start to falter a little bit. If the Dodgers decide that for whatever reason they want to go for the record, and then they, you know, play everybody 100%, then, you know, I definitely think they have a chance. I think they have a very good chance at it. But for the most part, I think you see that they're behind the Mariners and the Yankees at their current pace, and it seems more likely that that pace is going to slow down once they get into September.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, I think the Dodgers as a team are probably better than the 2001 Mariners were. I mean, just on a talent level, I know that, you know, the 2001 Mariners did win 116 games, so it's hard to say to knock them as a unit, but you know, you look at the 2001 Mariners, they were getting like the best season of Brett Boone's career, the best season of John Olerud's career, arguably the best season of Ichiro Suzuki's illustrious career. Edgar Martinez was on fire the entire season.
Right.
I know Edgar Martinez isn't Ichiro Hall of Famers, but like Dan Wilson, John Olerud, Brett Boone are not, they're not world beaters.
No, I agree with that. It's funny because I'm trying to think, you know, relative to the league, I do feel like these Dodgers are a bit more impressive up and down compared to their competition than the Mariners were compared to theirs. I think this is, you know, it's always a surprise when a team's on pace to win over 110 games, but I definitely chalk this up as much less of a surprise than what the Mariners were able to accomplish. I mean, looking forward, you know, going back to their schedule, they got some easy games, theoretically, kind of against the Tigers, who are in rebuild mode. You think Pittsburgh's going to slip back? You know, you look at some games against Philadelphia. Yeah, they have, you know, remaining series against the White Sox coming up. They definitely have a chance to make the push. I think it kind of becomes one of those, A, how much do they want it? And B, you know, how much do the expanded rosters affect their rhythm?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. It is worth noting the 2001 Mariners went 20-9 in August and 15-6 in September. The 98 Yankees went 22-10 in August and 16-11 in September. I think the Dodgers, they just win 20 games or at least close to it in July. I know they only, their only losses were to the Braves.
Well, what I thought was funny was I saw the Dodgers had won 46 of their last 50 games. Their rival, the Giants, have won 46 games on the entire season.
Jesus.
Wow.
Justin, tell me, how do the Dodgers look going into the playoffs?
Well, see, that's the thing. Now it becomes one of those everybody wants to, you know, argue. Does the win record even matter if you don't win in the playoffs?
Yes.
I agree with you.
If you win 116 games, it totally matters.
It totally matters. I mean, we still talk about the 2001 Mariners.
And they lost
in
the division.
And they were eliminated in the first round, exactly. And it's still impressive in hindsight. I think the Dodgers are set up very well for the playoffs. Namely because if they have Clayton Kershaw coming back, even having Adrian Gonzalez coming back, I personally think he'll probably be coming off the bench because it's pretty hard to argue with what Cody Bellinger has been doing so far. But the thing about this team is that they're deep. They have a ton of pieces. They can kind of mix and match. They can play matchups. They can match up with basically anybody in the National League. And I would love to see them basically take on a juggernaut like the Red Sox or the Astros in the
American
World Series. Yeah. But it's kind of one of those things for me where they don't have a glaring weakness. And so you almost need just sequencing to kind of go against them to kind of see the Dodgers cool off a little bit.
So I was thinking about this earlier today. If I'm trying to figure out not really a game plan, but a formula for how to beat the Dodgers in the playoffs, I think it looks a lot like the Nationals, a team that whose starting pitchers don't give up a lot of home runs, who pitch deep into the game. The Nationals now have a couple good relievers on the back end, and they can hit. They can hit a lot. So they're not going to get blown out of the park by the heavy Dodger bats.
Yeah, that's a big thing. I mean, they are, you know, they're able to keep up with the high octane offense of the Dodgers. I mean, actually, I believe the Nationals have scored more runs this season so far. And you kind of look at, you know, if Strasburg is healthy, and you have Max Scherzer, you have Strasburg, you have Gio Gonzalez. I mean, that's a pretty good three-headed beast right there. And you kind of look at, you know, it's going to be a battle of the bullpens. I know the Dodgers have, you know,
Kenley Jansen, the best reliever in baseball.
Exactly. Like, they have this just beast lurking out there in the bullpen. But the problem is they have had some issues getting to them from time to time that their offense has been able to take care of. It's one of those things where, hey, if your offense is good enough, then I guess it's really not an issue. But at the same time, I don't think you want to make that a pattern. The bullpens are, you know, usually the weak spot for most teams. But, yeah, if you're looking at the Nationals versus Dodgers matchup, I think you look at that the rotations and you look at who's going up against each other, and it wouldn't be crazy to maybe favor the Nationals in that matchup. Maybe.
Maybe, but here's the question. Do we really think that push to shove, that all things being equal, that the Dodgers or the Nationals don't get killed by the way the rotations line up, that the Nationals are a better team?
Say that again?
All things being equal, assuming that neither the Dodgers or the Nationals gets, you know, unfavorable pitching matchups, i.e., you know, Scherzer against Kershaw, Strasburg mm-hmm. against Darvish, do you really think that the Nationals are better? Because I got to think that the Dodgers have, because of their depth alone, have a little bit more margin for error game to game.
That's probably true. I guess the way I look at it, when I look at those two, the matchups that you meet that you mentioned, excuse me, you know, Scherzer versus Kershaw. I mean, that's just the best of the best. Whoever wins that 1-0 game, you tip a cap to them, right? When you get into kind of further into the bullpen, I'm sorry, further down the rotation, I wouldn't be surprised if it kind of favors the Nationals, simply because you've seen that. You know, Gio Gonzalez was able to take a no-hitter into the ninth inning, or through eighth innings into the ninth, earlier this year. I mean, he's got the potential to come out and throw that type of gem. We all know Strasburg is pretty good when he's on it. Now, as long as he's not injured, it's very likely that he'll put up a good performance.
Cross your fingers on that.
Exactly. That's the only thing you worry about, right? But I think in like a five-game – well, excuse me, they would meet in the championship series. So yeah, I think in a seven-game series – it's not crazy to think that the Nationals rotation could go out there and throw, you know, three gems and, you know, take a 3-1 lead and find a way to close it out over the rest of the rotation. I think I would still favor the Dodgers. I mean, they are the better team. They perform better enough. I believe they've won the head-to-head. I think it's only been three games, though. But the Nationals, I think, are the one team in the National League who could give them a run, and I think the Astros are the one team in the American League who could challenge them in the World Series.
All right, Josh, it's prediction time at the end of the podcast. Dodgers are on pace for 114 wins as of today. Do you think they get there?
Oh, man. I don't want to be a negative Nancy, but I would guess 108.
108?
I'm gonna put it on wax, 108.
In my heart of hearts, I kind of feel the same way. I kind of feel like it's just so hard to close out strong like that. But I'm going to be a romantic about it. I'm going to say not only do the Dodgers beat the 98 Yankees, I'm going to say they beat the 2001 Mariners and get to 117 games. 117 wins. And then the second prediction that we were talking about, you know, not sure if it matters in the regular season matters if you don't win the World Series. Do the Dodgers win the World Series this year? Or do you think they fall in the National League Championship Series or in the World Series?
Let me see here. I guess I would say if, you know, my first thought was kind of like, I see them winning the National League pennant. I see them taking care of the Rockies or the Diamondbacks, whoever comes out of the wildcard game, because that's basically what they've done all season, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I see them being favored in the matchup against, you know, the Nationals, and I see them being made favored in a matchup against the Cubs. So it's very easy for me to see them in the World Series. You know, my first thought is to say, you know, how will they handle going up against an AL lineup, especially one like the Astros or the Red Sox? You know, how would they be able to compete with the lineup that has a DH in it? But the thing is, they have so much depth that, you know, whoever they decide to bring off the bench and uses their DH too kind of instantly nullifies that. They're built to win almost in any other in any condition. I feel like it's a cop-out, but I think I'm going to go with the odds here. I think the Dodgers are going to actually win their first title since 1988.
I'm right there with you. I don't see I don't really see the Dodgers. I could see them having some deep series, but I don't really see them being pushed around much. They're just so good right now, unless they really hit a heavy slide, a la the 2011 Red Sox.
Ooh, yeah.
Unless they really start to fall apart, I think they're just too deep, too good, too heavy hitting. And with Darvish and Kershaw up front, I think Kershaw gets past his playoff woes. I like the Dodgers in the World Series, as much as it pains me to say it, because I really do think my Red Sox have a shot this year. But
and I would love to see the Nationals, you know, be able to just not only get past the divisional series, but you shake the full monkey off their back. But, I mean, this team was able to go out and add Darvish and not have to give up any major league talent and just throw him right into the rotation and get better in the one spot where they might have been suffering. It's tough to go against that.
Yep. Well, they got depth in their starting pitching. They got the best closer in baseball. Top to bottom, their lineup is as deep as it gets. Josh, I'm excited to watch this team for the rest of the year.
Let's hope they get there.
See you next week, man.
Adios.